This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tandon.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that occasionally does it in other states. Last week, Rusty and I took a little road trip through Tennessee, and we recorded two podcasts. Do you want to...
Yeah, this is going to be part one of two podcasts where we actually, these are actually going to appear in reverse chronological order because we started out in Nashville and then worked our way over to Knoxville.
Raced against the clock because we had not taken into consideration the fact that Nashville is in Central Time, Knoxville is in Eastern Time.
Yeah, we got to this interview with about 15 minutes to spare, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, so you want to talk a little bit about the fellows that I'm going to interview here?
Yeah, Rusty interviews Rock Bernard and Joe Inman, who are with the Airplane Filling Station Preservation Association. Now, you might be wondering, what is that about? Well, I'll tell you. In Powell, Tennessee, which is technically just outside of Knoxville, there is a filling station, a former filling station, I should say, that is shaped like an airplane. And these guys are trying to fix it up and preserve it because it's pretty weird.
And you'll hear more about it in the interview, but they have already succeeded in getting it registered as a historic...
As a nonprofit. And as a historic...
Well, and as a historic place.
Let me just interrupt you a few more times.
Yeah, let's keep going with that. And where they're at now is they're trying to get funding together to get this thing fixed up. And so what this podcast is you'll get to hear why.
Here it is.
We're here with...
Rock Bernard.
And...
Joe Inman.
And could you tell me a little bit about where we're at? We're in the belly of an airplane filling station here.
We're on Clinton Highway, which is 25W. Originally, Clinton, still designated as the Dixie Highway, which runs north to south. It's an alternate route that went north and south back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s. And of course, it's been overtaken by a lot of the interstates. But it still goes quite a ways up into Kentucky and other places.
So the filling station doesn't appear to really be in use right now. Are you trying to save the filling station?
Now, that's the goal. We formed an organization, and we are in the process of trying to renovate it and preserve it. That's what we were doing out here today. We were doing a little painting to kind of maintain it through the winter. So,
what's the ultimate goal here for?
Well, the ultimate goal is to complete the plane as close to original as possible. And at that point, the floor is actually up here, so we're going to have to move the doors back to its original location. But we'll have small use for it. The highway's rather congested, so we have to kind of minimize the traffic on and off. So, but we do have some prospective uses for it, which we've had the University of Tennessee look into for us.
Okay, neat. Could you tell me a little bit about the history of the...
Right, it was built for and by the Nickel Brothers, N-I-C-K-L-E. We believe it started somewhere between 1928 and 29 and was completed about March of 1931. It's a building built to resemble an airplane. And one of the brothers had a passion for flying. I don't believe he ever flew or owned an airplane, but he had a passion for it. And that was in days of gimmicks and the love of aeronautics was just coming into play. So it must have taken about a year or two to build. But it opened up consecutive with the opening of Clinton Highway, as you see it today. But it was a two-lane, not a four-lane.
Yeah. What was it used for originally?
It was a service station, and we believe the first logo of gas, first brand of gas was Texaco. And over the years, it switched Texaco, Shell, Mobil, and a few other ones. But since we also believe that they quit pumping gas about 1963, 4, or 5, mid-60s anyway. And since then, it's had multiple uses. It was a package store, produce stand, fireworks stand, car lot. Even at one point, it was a head shop for about 6 months. But it hasn't been occupied for about, I'd say, two and a half years now.
Okay. Do
one other interesting thing about this, being on 25W, That's in Corbin, Kentucky, is the home of Colonel Sanders' fried chicken. Well, back in the early days, before he was a colonel, he had a restaurant up there, and they actually had a business card that they shared. One side had the filling station on it, and the other side had his restaurant. And there was a restaurant next door, which was called the Tea Room, Airplane Tea Room. So back in those days, with the roads as they were, it was about a 4 or 5 hour drive between the two sites, so you could eat breakfast or lunch here and eat dinner there or vice versa. So they did have some connection with the Colonel Sanders at that time, yeah.
How did you guys find out about this? What led you to want to do this?
Well, just driving down the highway, you can't help but notice it. And Joe and I have been friends, and a few other people. It seemed like we collided. There was a project going on at the University of Tennessee. It was with the community partnership, community development, and the professor had assigned a couple of his students to get this on the National Register of Historic Places. And at the same time, we just met and we got together. And that was in September of 2003. And since then, we've dealt with the environmental issues. We now own it. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. We've got our own 501c3 nonprofit status. So we've done a lot of things you can't see. And some of the things now structurally we're working on.
Yeah. Now you say environmental issues. What kind of environmental issues?
Well, we had underground storage tanks, and we had to have them humped out, and then they did what they call an in-place closure, mm-hmm. where they filled them with concrete once they evacuated the materials, and they did core samples around the islands and around the tanks and everything. So we got that taken care of.
What are you facing any obstacles getting this renovated back?
Money.
What kind of fundraising efforts have you put in?
Well, our primary source of fundraising, besides begging, is we sell T-shirts, and the T-shirts have the logo of the airplane on it. One of them is a photograph, as you see there in the window, and another one is a more of a caricature. But that's our primary source of fundraising. Wouldn't you say, Joe?
Yeah. We also attend a lot of the local activities. Like a couple of weeks ago, we were at the Raccoon Valley Festival, and we set up a booth there. We set up a booth with Knox Heritage when they have their old house things every year.
Tennessee Valley Fair.
We're also working with the University of Tennessee to try to get some grant monies from different organizations. And we've had some of the larger local businesses in the area have contributed somewhat to it, but we haven't really got enough money to move much past where we are now.
We've got some support going on right now with Tennessee Congressman Duncan going on, and they've written a letter of support, so we're waiting to hear on that, see what kind of funding we can get. So we're just standing back and waiting there.
We did get a $15,000 grant from this Knox County, and that allowed us to purchase the building before someone else did, so that was very timely.
Right, and like Joe said, we've had several area businessmen contribute too, so that's helped out. But one thing you want to say, Joe, too, is if you can throw it in there, that it's imperative that we save this, because there's not a whole lot of this type of architecture left in the country, especially here in Tennessee. I don't know.
Yeah.
How many odd buildings do you know of? There's the guitar in Bristol, and then this one. That's the only really strange commercial buildings anyway.
This building's still used extensively for a locator. People say you go 1 mile past the airplane filling station, so... Yeah, it was used in the old days that way, and it still is, because it's a very distinguishable
reference point,
right? So,
do you know of any stories that anybody passed along about the airplane?
Well, some illicit things, I guess. It was told that they, not the original owners and builders. See, it changed hands. These gentlemen here first built it, leased it out for quite a few years, but there's stories that they sold moonshine out of here and things like that. But, of course, that was done quite a bit in those days. So,
a lot of people in the community can remember growing up playing here as kids and so forth. So it's got a lot of significance to the area. So.
You got to remember back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, there wasn't much around here.
Yeah.
There might have been one or two hotels and then this and a few gas stations. But we've got some aerial shots that TVA took back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and it's very sparse.
Yeah.
So this is what it was quite, like Joe said, it was like a Sunday outing for a lot of people. I get people in their 60s tell me that their dads used to bring them up here to get a Coke and some ice cream and things like that. So it was quite an event for them.
Do you guys have any other thoughts you'd like to add about the airplane?
Well, if anybody has any questions, we have a website, and it's www.powellairplane.org, right, Joe?
Excellent. Well, thanks for talking to me, guys.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.